Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
You ready?
Fuck yeah.
All right, guys. Welcome to the Full Blast Podcast. I'm Jeff Fader. You know who's here. Ben Snoor, of course. Are you crazy? Before we get into it, let's take care of a little business. Number one is my friends at Broadbeck Ironworks, makers of the 2x72 grinder. Thing is sick, and they're having, if you're listening to this and it is before December 8th, 2024, go get involved with their special. They got their Black Friday special still going on until December 8th. 10% off all attachments. They got a packages. All their packages have free equipment, free attachments with them. You have to check out the details in regards to that. The Power Hammer has special free dies, drawing dies, and definitely get involved with Broadbeck Ironworks. They are my friends, and they make a great product, and I love using their product. So check out what's going on, and if this is before the 8th of December, get on board with that special special, okay? And then after the 8th, you can use Knife Talk 10 for 10% off. But definitely check out what they got going on over there. I want to thank my friends at Even Heat, manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com. I mean, you can't make it better. I mean, you got to get it hard using Even Heat. You know what I'm saying? That's it. End of ad. If you want to get it hard, use an Even Heat. They're the best. I'm with them 100%. I want to thank my friends at Maritime Knife Supply. It's maritimeknifesupply.com for all your knife-making needs, belts, abrasives, steels, kilns, forges, press, heat-treating ovens, anvils, and many, much, much more, including, let me tell you guys, get yourself some, if you're a blacksmith or bladesmith or however you identify, get yourself one of them pieces of 1080 hex bar. You won't regret it, especially if you want to make some of them integral bolster knives. I got a pile of it, and I made a small kukri with one of them. Man, I love it. So go check out what's going on at Maritime Knife Supply. And on one little show note to reminder, there is still, as of this minute, there's still a postal strike in Canada. So USPS might be a problem, or going to Canada or coming from Canada to, I don't know how he's dealing with it. I know that it's a total wreck. So whatever you do, definitely support MaritimeKnifeSupply.com and also be gentle with him, because he has no control over how things are shipping and his whole business is shipping. So be gentle with him, and I am all on board with MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. He just finished the scholarship of the New England School of Metalwork, and yeah, he's a great guy. So go get yourself some of that, maritimeknifesupply.com. I want to thank my friends at Trojan Horse Forge. That's Sam and Jeff. They're makers of the Stable Rail Knife Finishing Vise. If you're looking for something for Christmas, get yourself one of them Stable Rail Knife Finishing Vise. You won't regret it. And the Stable Rail Knife Finishing Vise has attachments that allows you to maximize your stability, allows you to hand sand with comfort. You can just take all them 2x4s and throw them in the fire where they belong. Don't play. It is the best. It comes in a bomb-proof case and with all the little attachments and then replaceable parts, replaceable rubber, and all the adhesive back pads and all that stuff. They have it all. And if you go to TrojanHorseForge.com, put in the promo code FULLBLAST10, you're going to get 10% off everything. You get 10% off the T4 Sentinel Oil, which I love very much, and their handle press attachment. If you already have the Stabrel knife finishing vices. It helps you put your wah, like get your wah going. You know what I'm saying? You can make sure you get your wah going. So definitely check out my boys over at Trojan Horse Forge and support a small business. They're manufactured in the United States. It's good enough for me. I want to thank my friends at Baker Forge. Coy was awesome last week, and I'm sorry that last week's episode came up late. It shouldn't have come up late, and it was my fault. I was so crazy with what was going on last week with all of Black Friday and all of our sales over Fader Knives that I didn't press send to Craig. So when Craig didn't put it up, and it's because I didn't press send. All I had to do was press send. It was my mistake. So I want to thank my friends at Baker Forge. If you want to get involved with some exotic steels, definitely get yourself involved with Baker Forge. It doesn't get much better than that. And as he said last week, they're new stuff. They're going to be doing more pattern welded stainless, and they got big things coming up. Definitely get yourself some of that gator piss. It's the best attachment. And who knows? They're coming up with a new type of piss, I guess. Like, I don't know. I guess they don't call it a piss. But they're calling up something new when they use that when they etch the stainless, is going to have something different. So we'll see. Somebody said it should call it fader piss, but I think that's a mistake. I got enough people who got problems with me. I don't need any more. So definitely go check out BakerForge.com. Put the promo code FULLBLAST. You can get 10% off. And if you want, you can also go to TexasFarrierSupply.com, and then you can use the promo code KnifeTalk10 for 10% off everything there, including gator piss, but everything else. Whatever you want, if you're a blacksmith, you're a bladesmith, you're a farrier, you need to get some knife-making supplies and you're in Texas and you're in the United States, definitely check out Texas Ferry Supply and put in the promo code KnifeTalk10 for 10% off everything. I want to thank my friends at Total Boats, totalboats.com/fullblast for all your adhesive paints, primers, polish, compounds. Definitely get the two-part epoxy. That's all I use, and they have special formulated dyes. I also use their, I just made another block of their Fathom Thick Set with some, what did I use? Local Honey Locust from a friend of mine. And I love that stuff. It makes great material, and I just can't get enough of it. And you don't need a pressure pot. You don't need any special equipment. It's great. Total Boat is really, really great, and I'm all on board. So all the hyperlinks, the direction to get in there, you get them on wherever you listen to this. I want to thank my friends at GL Hansen Sons. Greg sent me some more of their G-Carta, and I love it. Every time he comes up with something new, he always sends me some of it, and I always use it. And sometimes I don't use it just the straight scale. Sometimes I use it like a bolster piece, which I like very much. So go to gcarta.bigcartel.com, or you can go to g.l_HansenSons on Instagram. Now, G-Carta is a unique composite of natural fibers and fabrics, and it's mixed with epoxy under pressure. And it's going to make your handles, it's going to give you something different. It's going to give you some great color. Some of it looks like brain coral. Some of it's just like kind of tie-dye-y. And a lot of it is very elegant. You can check out the Ripple Cut, the Bofa, Tuxini, Mahi Mahi, Radiorm G-Carta. I just got some more Pheasant. I love the Pheasant. Colorama, Hoopla, Electric Fuzz. This stuff is awesome. So definitely go support a great guy. And especially if you're looking for... if you're looking to get a holiday gift for another knife maker, get them some G-Carta. Because people are starting to ask for it. So I got people asking for it specifically. So definitely check that out. And I want to thank my friends at Tormek, celebrating 50. It's got to be 51 by now. 51 years of being in business with the Black TH sharpening system. All their sharpening systems are awesome. I just did a huge run of sharpening for our Black Friday sale. Everything was sharpened with the Tormek, and I couldn't have done it without it. So I'm going to do something soon with them. Again, they're going to be on here, maybe Sebastian the new year, whatever, figure something out. But I'm very grateful to Tormek. I really like their ethos. And if you're not a knife maker and you're just going to keep your tool sharp, get yourself a Tormek. So go to Tormek.com or at Tormek_sharpening on Instagram. My friend is here. You know what? I had a long week and I'm really tired and I needed some laughs and I needed a friend, and I'm Ben Snores back, of course. You know Ben. He's one of my favorite guests to have here, and it's always a pleasure to have him here. Ben, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm fucking good.
Yeah? Tell me about it.
You know, just finished up a pretty good sized batch of hammers and handles for Well Shod. I had a big old bowl of over spicy menudo for lunch.
Whoa.
I don't have a whole lot going on this afternoon, and so I'm having a beer.
Wait a second. Tell me more. I know you've liked menudo. What is in menudo?
It's a Mexican stew or soup, sopa maybe, and it's tripe and hominy, and I don't know how you cook it, but it's delicious.
Is the tripe taste chewy, or does it type? Well, how does the texture?
Ideally,
of the tripe?
Yes. Okay. You don't want You don't really want slimy tripe. You want kind of chewy tripe. At least I do.
Because we make pozole, or our version of pozole, which has hominy in it, which I think hominy is an underrated grain.
Yeah,
it's good. Call it a grain, but I've always heard that menudo is basically, isn't it meant for like hangovers? Isn't that like the classic hangover?
Yeah. I mean, it's traditionally it's cooked on the weekends, and I think that's because it takes a long time to cook. You got to cook it. I think it may take all week to cook because you got to cook the tripe like 3 or 4 times.
Whoa.
To get it all cleaned out and degrossified. I don't know what you say.
Deguts.
But yeah, it's a hangover. It's a hangover cure, but I like it all the time.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite soup.
Is it?
Yes.
Gotta have it now.
It's delicious.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you know, a lot of people don't like it, and I get it. Like it's got a texture.
Yeah.
But, and then I spice it up with some little chili tapines, which
What's
I added.
That?
Ah, it's what a little, tapine? It's another little Mexican pepper chili. And it's, they're small little red dried berries. They kind of look like a red juniper berry.
Huh.
And you crumble them up and put it in there, and they're hot.
I got to get out and see what you're doing over there.
Yes, you do.
At some point. I would love to do that someday.
We can talk about that off air because I have an opportunity for you.
Oh,
or we can talk about it now.
Talk about it now. Let's talk about it now. Let's do a little back office situation.
They're doing.
Who's they?
The World Championship Blacksmiths.
Oh yeah. You know what? Here's the speaking of which, I've been in touch with Greg. And it just we worked it out, and then it just between me going to Sweden and him doing the thing, it just didn't work out. So go ahead. World Champion Blacksmith.
They're having a WCB contest. First one of the year is going to be in Amarillo this year. And it's in the beginning of April. I think it starts April 9th.
Whoa.
So that's your opportunity. You ain't doing shit in April. Nobody's doing anything in April. Come on down. Come watch a little WCB. Come out to the ranch. Go fuck around with me and we'll eat some steak. And yeah.
God damn it.
Then you go on your merry way.
It sounds pretty good. We're gonna have to talk about it more off air. I gotta figure it out. It's hard for me to go anywhere. It's really hard for me to go anywhere.
Oh, and, I totally get it.
But we'll work it out. We'll see. We can figure at some point. I gotta figure it out.
Oh, and then I'm also leaving on Friday to go to the National Finals Rodeo in Vegas.
Whoa!
So I'm pumped about that. The annual Snoor family trip.
Tell me more about this.
So we've been going for shit years. I don't even know how many times I've been now, but that's kind of my dad likes to go, and that's kind of his family Christmas present to everybody is he takes everybody to Vegas, and he gets great tickets at the rodeo, and we go watch that.
And then how many of you are going? How many of you go?
It's just my folks and Alex and I this year. Ordinarily, it's my folks, Alex and I, and then my sister and her husband.
And then your kids are somebody just taking care of your kids?
We put them in the dog kennel and just throw a bunch of food in there.
So
no,
you guys,
Alex's folks come from Arizona and come watch them.
So, what will you, when you how long will you be going to the for the rodeo?
Honestly, too long. You know, Vegas is pretty easy to overdo it there. So we're leaving Friday and coming back Monday.
Oh,
coming
okay.
Back,
that's not too bad.
Vegas is, you know, I'm not the best at moderation.
You?
Me.
I find that hard to believe.
Believe it.
Okay.
Believe it. When I go out, I like to really go out. And so.
And you don't have a car, so you can, you know,
Yeah, you Uber everywhere, and it's fantastic.
Do you guys have reservations at any restaurants?
We do. The main one's the SW Steakhouse. We go there. We've tried a variety of different steakhouses, and that's the one we kind of always keep coming back to.
When you go to a steakhouse, what's your order?
Ribeye. Rare.
Okay. Oh, rare.
Yep.
And what does your dad go?
That is a sore subject because he wants a ribeye. Rare. But he has this thing about it, and he's like, "Well, you know, that's too much steak. I'm not going to eat it." And so he always gets something else, and he's never happy with it.
Right.
And so I'm hoping this year, like, all right, Dad, I'll just order for you. You're gonna get it. You're gonna eat 2/3 of it, or maybe even half. I don't care. But get the food that you want. This is your trip. Get what you want.
Steakhouses are tough, and I've had this conversation before, because I used to go every year. My high school friend and I would go to a classic New York steakhouse before a Knicks game. We go to Madison Square Garden. Beforehand, we went to
Chris. That's the dumbest steak name ever.
That's the number. We don't go there. We go to Keen's Steakhouse, which is like a classic.
I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a classic New York old school. You know, we've been to all these Smith and Wolensky and all these places.
Yeah.
And when I look at the menu, I always think to myself, don't get something you could cook yourself, because what's the point? You should get something that you wouldn't normally have. Like, I would never make a prime rib for me and my family. My family don't eat meat. So it's like, so everyone likes a prime rib. Get the fucking prime rib. And I'm always disappointed.
You know, and that's, I have kind of the same issue with steakhouses, but if I'm going to a steakhouse, I'm getting a steak.
Right, of course.
But my steaks are better.
Right.
I've never eaten a steak better than mine at a steakhouse. I don't know that I've ever eaten a steak better than mine.
You know what? You're right. Well, I've definitely had better. The best steak I've ever had at a steakhouse was at Peter Luger's in Brooklyn. And that was amazing. And I think of it was because they cook it differently than a lot of people cook it. They cook it under a broiler.
All right.
And then so they cook it under a broiler, and then they bring it out, and then they cut it, and then they put it back under the broiler. So it's
Don't cut my steak.
So when it comes to your table, because it's usually you get a steak for two. Okay. And then it'll come to your table, and then they'll put some cups underneath it so all the fat goes to one side, and then they'll give you big pieces, you got a point. The cutting it, that's their whole thing, is they cut it for you, but they don't chew it up for you.
Another issue I have with steakhouses is a lot of these high end ones, like there's no seasoning. And you got to have salt and pepper, and I want it cooked with the salt and pepper.
Oh yeah.
You know, just eat the meat by itself, and you can just savor that. Kiss my ass. Put a little garlic powder on there.
So you have a good point. My bigger issue with the steakhouses are you have to order the sides separately.
Yes.
That drives me fucking crazy.
Same here.
That drives me crazy. It's like, to get a slice of tomato, you have to order a slice of tomato. Not that anyone wants a slice of tomato. But at that, the sides are extra, sucks. You know, it's just like, this is the best you can do. That I don't like.
Possibly my favorite part of like a high-end steakhouse is the appetizers. Because that's where you're really getting into kind of some odd stuff that you definitely are not cooking for yourself or may not have ever heard of. And it's always fantastic.
Oh, God, you make me want to go to a steakhouse. The problem is the Knicks are so good right now that tickets have like skyrocketed from last year. They were high last year, but they're double the price now for the same shitty tickets.
Now, I'm not trying to tell you your business, but you can go to a steakhouse without going to a Knicks game.
I know, but it's
possible.
Here's the problem. There are no steakhouses up by where I live that are worth the damn, and no one's going to go with me. And my wife isn't going to go to a steakhouse. And then I liked the idea of going to a New York steakhouse and going straight to the Mecca. You know, Madison Square Garden is like, when I was a kid, I loved Madison Square Garden. To me, it was like the ultimate place in New York. And to go to a classic New York steakhouse and then go straight to the Madison Square Garden is my now idea of a great New York night out.
So can you not go steakhouse and then Yankees game?
No, because it's just not the same. You don't want to steak it before you go to Yankee. I mean, Yankee games, you kind of want to eat the hot dogs.
All right.
I don't know. That's enough. A good point. I've never done that. Next time you have time, I'd love it if you came. We should go to a baseball game sometime. Yankee Stadium, I would have a hard time. I've never eaten dinner before going to a Yankee game, and I've gone to a lot of Yankee games. It's a very tough – I don't know. For some reason, it just doesn't really compute.
I get that. I do get that. You know, you don't want to fill up on food and then not be able to enjoy your beer and your hot dog or your pretzel or whatever.
That's right. And then, yeah, 100%, 100%. All right, so listen, have you had a good Christmas season so far?
You know, I hadn't really advertised or taken any orders or anything. It's just kind of been relaxing.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I might knock out a couple of hammers and just kind of offer them up for whatever. But as far as just something, doing anything extra for Christmas, I hadn't done it this year.
Huh. We just finished this monstrous sale that I just didn't expect it to be as monstrous as it was. We did 4 days, 30% off the website, with a few exceptions. And it was like fucking crazy. It was madness. And so it started on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And today is, Wednesday. The last thing went out today, and it was just because I had to send it UPS to Canada. But it was total madness, and it was great. I mean, it was great in terms of like meeting financial goals and, you know, being efficient in terms of how you sharpen and ship and doing all that stuff. But I swear to God, when this comes out, it's going to be my birthday, and I'm turning 51.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. I feel every inch of 51. Every inch.
Every inch.
Not second, not day, not month.
Every inch.
It's tough. It's not tough. I will say I feel good because when I was 30, I really had a slight health scare, and when I turn 60, I don't want a doctor to tell me you have to change your lifestyle. And it was at a spite. Like, I'm gonna eat different, I'm not gonna drink as much, I'm gonna exercise more. And now I'm at the point where this is the best I've ever felt in terms of just physical. You know, I don't have a beer gut, I'm feeling good. I wake up in the morning, I don't hurt as much. But at the same time, it's like a big, big long weeks are starting to take a toll. And I'm just tired. And I'm looking forward to this season being over, frankly.
Not to downplay your age and fitness level, but I got a question about your sale. Was that all just inventory that you had on stock and just had to ship?
Yeah. So
you weren't having to build stuff, scramble to get it all done, get it out.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
So over the past few years, we used to have the longest our order list was like 100 knives.
That's a bunch.
It was a lot. And we kind of slowly, and then they budgeted me out like 10 here, 10 there. And every time I would see the calendar, I would grab a few from the month before ahead. So if I was supposed to do 10, I'd do 12. Or if I was supposed to do 15, I'd do 18. And then we got rid of it, and it got to the point where we were like, let's just build stuff for the website. That was always the idea. And then as we built, we would sell things, but then, we would sell one, we'd make three.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Great. We'd sell two, we'd make five. And then we ended up having a lot on the website. And then we just invested in a very expensive website, which is not done yet. And I'm looking forward to that. And we've kind of made new expenses, like we got hired a PR firm and all this stuff. And we just came to the conclusion, like, let's have an and while Tony, my business partner, said, let's have I think we should have a very aggressive sale and, you know, get rid of some of the stuff on the old website. So getting ready for the new website. And we just did a fucking monster. And it was all stuff I had. But the crazy part is I never sharpen knives until I've shipped them, because I might change my mind. Like, it might not be as sharp as I want. I want to make sure it's the last chance to look at it before it ships.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that nothing slipped past me. I can take a look at the knife, and then I can sharpen it, and it goes straight to the shipping. So we sold a lot. I mean, I don't want to talk numbers, but I mean, I was at the post office like 8 times between Friday, Saturday, Monday, and you know, now. So it was a lot of work. It was a lot of, like, it felt good to meet some dedicated, you know, some
extra. So do you have much inventory left?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we didn't go through half of it. I mean, some of the designs I did just don't resonate with people, and I'm cool with it. And, you know, 30% off was cool because it allowed people we ended up gaining about 40 new customers, which is great, because our business is like all repeat business, like sending things out quickly and having good, you know, interactions with the people that we buy through or sell to. And it's always very like, we always have good repeat business and people. So gaining 40 new customers was like, you know, it's not just,
that's 40 potential repeat customers.
Oh yeah. So that I thought I was going to have a heart attack, because it was like, originally Tony was like, we're going to give everybody 40% off. I'm like, go fuck yourself. I was like, you're going to kill me. You give it away for 40%, you're going to kill me. So
I'll tell you something that just galls my ass about Black Friday, aside from the quantity of emails I receive,
yeah,
which is just out of hand multiple times throughout the day from the same company. It's the people and businesses that mark up their prices and then say, we're giving you 20% off. I saw a maker company, quote unquote maker company, that, you know, they said they're giving $20 off or something like that. And I went and looked at their prices, and their prices were higher. Like, they marked up the price, knocked off $20, and then it was still higher than it originally was. And it's just, that rubs me terribly the wrong way.
A lot of these guys don't really know what they're doing. And it's the hard part about it is, and I don't want to pretend like, I'm really happy, you know, but the age I am, I'm really happy, completely happy with, if I don't know something, I don't, and I think you're similar. You're one of the things that if you don't know something, you say you don't know it, and it's not a big deal. It's like,
except for to my kids. I got to act like I know everything.
Oh, that's understandable. Yeah. But I find it to be very liberating to not know everything. Like, and it's been very liberating. So when I decided to start this business, I was like, I don't know a lot about business. I might as well find a business partner. So my business partner, Tony, I've known him for 30 years or 20 something years. And, you know, he's got a good business sense. And I also don't you know, micromanage him or pretend like I know better, because otherwise, I mean, it's just so stupid.
What's the point? But why would you have
him? What's the point? Why did I have him? He's not an employee. He's my business partner. And the crazy part is some of these guys just don't know what the fuck they're doing. And I'm one of those people, but I got a guy who helps me out and to figure it out. We don't, you know, you can't nickel and dime the shit you're giving away. You got, and you can't trick him. My dad once did this thing to this guy. I swear to God, he had some of my old sculpture at his winery. And a guy says, "Oh, I really like that sculpture." It was these giant fishing lures. And he
love
says,
those.
"How much are they?" He says, "How much are they?" And my dad says, "Oh, they're $350, but for you, I'll give you two. I'll give you two for $700." It's like, fucking, that's the same thing, dick.
Yeah, I, you know,
he told me that he thought he was so clever, and I'm just like, you know, fuck you. Don't
that right
don't
there
trick people.
Doesn't bother me quite as bad, because it's just kind of, to me, that's being funny. If somebody didn't catch that, you know.
I don't think he was trying to be funny, if I'm being totally honest. He was like, if I know my old man, I think he thought he was being clever.
All and, right.
You know, slip one past somebody. Oh, it was, what a deal. He just added.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing it facetiously, I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, if you're trying to hoodwink him like that, kiss my ass.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's not. I don't know. It the hard part is a lot of people... I got a lot of messages from knife makers who were kind of slightly, I don't know, they're a little bit passive aggressive towards me about it. And, you know, well, one guy told me I was making him look bad by having like such an aggressive deal. And I was like, well, I mean, you know.
Kiss my ass, man.
This
is a free market economy.
I can't do this because of, you know, some goober.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt his feeling. I mean, it's nothing to do with you. I don't even know you existed 5 minutes ago. It's just like, I mean, give me a break. What the fuck am I supposed to do? You know, that's business. I mean, you got to fucking do something.
Is this person that said something? Or are they somebody that has like a standing inventory?
No, I don't think. It wasn't a big deal. It was just like I left it alone, you know.
Fair enough.
I leave it all alone, and frankly, I only come to the podcast if I don't want to go back and forth for free. Like I need to, you know. I feel like if I'm going to say something to somebody, I'm going to just say it here.
You bet.
Or at Knife Talk, where you know I'm getting paid. So it's a strange way to think about it, but it's a lot easier.
Screw that
than,
guy. You're making your own self look bad.
It's fine. Do you worry in terms of business? Do you worry? This is something I thought about you because I was talking to my daughter. My daughter's declaring her major and she's getting ready for, you know, she declared her major and she's getting ready to kind of really think about what she's going to do for her in her life. And we started talking about the fact that, you know, all these technology and all these and AI is changing. And this is, we're going to go into talk about, you know, influencers and all that, but it's changing the way technology is changing the way that of business. And a lot of it's because, you know, convenience. I mean, people buy on Amazon and they don't go in stores anymore. You're seeing more empty stores. And do you ever think about, you know, how business is changing or your business?
Yeah, I got a robot building hammers for me right now.
Do you?
No. I am the robot.
You are the robot.
You know, no, I don't. Because it seems to me, and it may just be the people that I interact with on Instagram, and I think it would be sort of the similar crowd that you do, that people are tired of buying mass-produced bullshit that is made with a limited lifespan.
Yeah.
And people are going back to appreciating more handmade items and things made with a certain level of craftsmanship that can be used and or handed down.
Right.
And so I think the technology is, I mean, it is what it is, but also people don't want that in everything.
I agree.
And so, yeah, I don't really worry about it a whole lot.
Well, one of the things I was talking to my daughter about a little bit is that in the future of business, you're going to have to figure out a way that your job is you have to be undeniable. If you, I think the creative people who are making things are going to be do better in the future than, say, like somebody who goes to college to be a computer programmer.
I agree.
And I think that you've got to start to think about ways in which to be undeniable, and part of that's the human element that can't be replicated. So I feel like I was really concerned about a lot of makers in the you know, for the past few years, but then all of a sudden I'm starting to think that if you can hold it together, keep going, I think in the long run, people who are making things for a living, who have a connection to what they're doing, are ultimately going to be more successful than, say, like, you know, I mean, I think about toll booth operators. You know, back in the day, it was, you know, you threw a couple coins in the basket or you talked to the toll booth taker. There are no more toll booth takers. And then you wonder where are they going to get a job? And then I went to Home Depot today. They got rid of all the cashiers and it's now all self-checkout.
I hate self-checkout.
It's all this technology is changing the way people get jobs. And I am concerned,
you know,
about the future of, like, where are people? Go ahead.
I mean, all those jobs like toll booth takers and a checkout person, I mean, that's unskilled labor. And there's going to be other places. Like, it may force people to pick up a skill of some sort. You know, like, AI isn't going to be able to fix your clogged toilet. AI
isn't
going to be able to, you know, go check fences on the ranch and fix them. And, you know, I'm also a little different that I do have a job that I don't have to build stuff if I don't want to. And I do like to do that, but, you know, if I'm busy or something, I'm not real, and I can't get to it, I don't have to build stuff. But there's always going to be a place for people. I mean, there's just things that have to be done. And even from a creativity standpoint, like, look at Fireforge and the stuff he makes and what he draws.
Yeah.
AI can't come up with that. At least I wouldn't imagine.
I was listening to these Hollywood guys talk about how AI is affecting the movie industry, and what they said was, it can't create something that's unique. It can take away a lot of the craftsmanship. It can take a lot of the craft work, or, you know, the drudgery or the workings, the things that are replicatable, but, like, true creative independence of thought and mind and stuff like that, it's something that they were not going to be able to do. Like, they can do something that already exists, or they'll be able to,
and they can modify it, and
they can modify it, but they're not going to be able to come up with new ideas. So I don't know if this is some bullshit or
conversation. I just kind of hate the whole AI thing from, you know, everything I've learned from movies. Terminator, iRobot. I don't like any of that shit.
I don't hate it, but the whole CNC, home CNC stuff, I slightly have a problem with it, because I feel as though, and this is something that I used to hate, that Craig and Mareko used to talk about on Knife Talk, which they used to say, they would refer to some of the stuff as being the dumb work, like cutting out a knife and profiling it.
Yeah.
Like, I get all my water jet cut done at New Jersey Steel Baron, and I feel like I like the fact that I can, you know, work with a company that I've been working with for a long time, and they'll do this work, and I like spending money with American companies doing American jobs. I don't really ever see myself having CNC here in my shop and just doing it myself. I know at some point maybe that might change, but I feel like the technology is definitely taking away a lot of, you know, labor jobs.
I would say 3D printing more so than CNC.
Yeah. I think all of it, I mean, I think it's all great technology, and I'm not against it. I wonder at what point do businesses go out of business? You know, or
that's a good
industry
point.
Stop.
But at this, you know, If you're a small business and you're trying to look at the bottom line, and you're okay, I can buy this small, we'll say a 3D printer, and then I can make these fixturing setups or whatever with this 3D printer, and it's $4,000, or I can go down the road to the machine shop and they want $2,000 to do these one fixtures whenever I've got a limitless supply of fixtures out of this 3D printer. I mean, you kind of got to go that direction.
That's right. That's the rub. I mean, it's like, at what point do we? I try to do as much as possible by myself, and I try to do as much as possible. I like using other businesses, but at the same time, you're right. If you have an opportunity to do, you know, like, well, if I had somebody said sold me a machine that could make Corby bolts and it was like very easy to use and it was worth doing it, I might do it.
Yeah.
That would take away a lot of business from my Corby bolt supplier, you know, and
it's also not your responsibility to keep them in business. You want to be in business with them and you like them, but if you can do it just as good and cheaper yourself, you have to do that.
That brings me to a topic that we're going to get into in terms of influencing. I got a message from this friend of mine who is part of this consortium in my town of restaurants. And I was told that this Thanksgiving season was the worst Thanksgiving season for all the – it was like a big group of restaurants in our area.
Do people eat at restaurants for Thanksgiving?
Well, the time of the year. Like, this time of the year. This usually from, like, it used to be that, like, from September started the eating season. People came back from the summer. They were, you know, and they were going out to eat. And September through, you know, December is usually, like, a big time of the year. So they were just basically saying this time of the year has been the worst in record. Like, terrible, terrible business. And they were saying to me, what we're going to do is we're going to get some influencers in the area who have a big following, and then we're gonna ask you to participate in some videos and maybe share on my stories. And I said, absolutely, whatever you need. And it was interesting because the restaurant business in this area in a lot of small towns have not been good, and a lot of it's because, number one, people are not eating out as much. People, the economy hasn't been terrific for a lot of people, and a lot of people are not going around. I mean, it's different in a big city like New York or Los Angeles, where there's people all over the place, or a big city. But these smaller towns are getting beat up by the restaurant business, and I was just really, it was an interesting conversation because obviously, in my mind, all I could think of is I've had conversations with some of these restaurant owners that don't use Instagram like they should, and they don't make it compelling. And then they say, you know what you're talking about. And now it's like, you never listen to me.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that whole idea of hopefully these influencers save people's jobs. I don't really have much more to say about the situation.
Good luck.
Good luck. But I thought it would be an interesting segue. Well, I mean, we didn't go very far, but that's fine. And there's a story. I figure we could kind of get into some weird news. We didn't get into any weird news last week. And you sent this to me, and I already screenshot it, the story beforehand in terms of influencers. But influencers arrested at Target for scanning fake barcodes and posting it on social media. Melina Velez, 22-year-old TikTok influencer with 300,000 followers, was arrested for theft at a Target in Cape Coral. She attempted to steal merchandise worth $500 by scanning fake barcodes with lower prices at the self-checkout. Velez filmed part of her theft on social media, and the Target's loss prevention team identified her through security footage. After the Cape Coral Police Department posted her picture online, an anonymous tip revealed her identity through her Instagram handle. She was subsequently arrested and taken to Lee County Jail, facing petty charges. Later, reactivated her TikTok account with comments disabled.
What a piece of shit. I mean, yeah. Okay, there's doing something wrong.
Pardon me. Fucking kill me, dude. Ben.
Well, I mean, there's doing something wrong. Okay, yeah, you're going to try to steal. Don't fucking advertise that. How stupid can you be?
Well,
apparently that's stupid.
You want to see how stupid they could be?
Yes.
Influencer arrested for shoplifting and posting items online does it again at the same Target. Same person, same story. A TikTok influencer has been arrested for a second time for shoplifting at the same Target store in Cape Coral. In her most recent arrest, she allegedly stole $225 worth of items at a self-checkout. This follows a previous arrest last month for stealing $500 worth of goods at the same store, which she had shown off in a TikTok video. She faces potential jail time if convicted. So she did a video where she got fake scans, shelf-checked out the wrong, you know, prices,
yeah,
got it caught, got pinched, and did it again. And I don't think it's stupid. I don't think she think. I don't think
you think
she,
it's vanity. Like I can get away with this.
I think it's a social media fucking thing. I think it is like I think that all news is good news in this situation, and people want to know about her. People want to know what her. I mean, she's not a ugly person. She's not an ugly woman, you know. And I think that these types of people. I think it's like I see these ads. You know, you and I have a you and I send each other fucked up videos on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel as though that some of these people really, really do well. They really, really do well when they do shit wrong or bad or fucked up or like get arrested.
Okay, so you know, I've been tinkering around with the YouTube video. My buddy Ryan Turney, RTK Knives on Instagram. He's a good guy. Been yeah. doing that. And you know, it's kind of like the owner Kaglar deal. Any comment, good or bad, is good for you. And so if you can bait them into keep, you know, talking, getting a conversation, shit talking conversation, that only benefits you.
Right.
And people will like call things the wrong tools on wrong tool name on the YouTube video or Instagram post. And just so they get people, 100 people saying that's not what that is.
Yeah.
I can't bring myself to, you know, I will, if somebody says something bad, I will have something bad to say back to them. But it's just the bait, trying to bait people into this. And that's all she's doing is it's just bait. And at what point do you got to draw the line of, okay, I've got all these TikTok followers, which, by the way, are the dregs of social media.
Of society.
Yes,
of
they're just awful.
Humanity.
But, I mean, at what point do you say, okay, I'm facing serious jail time. Maybe I ought to back off.
There's a lot of people...
An extra 50 followers isn't worth 30 days.
I don't think it's extra 30. I think that she fucking probably blew up from this shit.
I'm sure she did, but I don't want to give her that much credit because she's just such a dumb hoe.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Part of me feels as though... talking about businesses and jobs... My kid said to me, she says, you know, people are starting to do different things. We were talking about the fact that people are doing alternative sources of income that are completely unorthodox from what we would normally think of, and they're making a ton of money. And I'm not saying it's good.
So other than OnlyFans, like what are we talking about? Being an influencer or something completely off? You know that we've never thought of.
Look at Hawk Tua.
Yeah.
Here, my opinion about Hawk Tua is she's fucking taking it and going with it. And I can't.
Good for fucking her.
And I don't know what her deal is. I know she's got a podcast. It's a very popular podcast. She's still relevant. People are still talking about her. She's taking what she has and going with it. She's outlived her 15 minutes of fame. And I applaud her for getting out of. She was working in like a spring factory.
Oh, she catapulted her 15 minutes into fame.
And I say good. I'm happy for her. Happy as in like good for her. Get your fucking money.
I mean, and yeah, she. The whole thing is a gimmick, like her tagline. But at the same time, she's not thieving.
No.
I mean, she got it. She got. Quasi-famous for just a funny comment, which, you know, I think everybody's like, all right, Hawk, she's right. you know, but yeah, she's done it innocently. Not if you're stealing, you are maliciously trying to get famous.
Well, there's all sorts of guys who are like crashing cars on purpose for like views. And there was we had an article. I don't know if I read it with you, but it was a YouTuber was in trouble because he was flying an airplane, a two-seater airplane.
Yes.
And then jumped out of it.
Yep. We talked about that, asshole.
He filmed himself jumping out of the airplane and allowing the airplane to just keep going. And he videoed it, and he got arrested because, he claimed that he made sure it was a very an unoccupied place, but he basically just jumped out of a fucking plane, and then the plane was like, you know, non-piloted, and it was all for a YouTube video, which is incredibly dangerous and like very jarring.
You still
frankly.
Can't ghost ride the whip.
Ooh.
It's wrong. Like,
you can't ghost ride the whip. What is that?
Shit.
That's a fucking good one. God, I'm going to write that down. That's the name of this podcast. You can't ghost ride the whip.
Whenever you bail on whatever you're driving, be it bicycle, car, airplane, jet ski, whatever, you jump off, you ghost ride the whip.
You can't ghost ride the whip. Fucking good, dude. Yeah, that's insane. I got that one. Got it.
All right.
Unbelievable. Can't ghost ride the whip. I tell you what, though, there was this big story about this OnlyFans model that is making more than she made more money than fucking Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. She made $43 million last year.
Now, have we discussed this on air, or would we just discuss this in person?
You and me?
Yeah, or on the phone. Like the whole
this
the
is,
whole
no,
OnlyFans
this is
thing. Okay, go ahead. Read the story.
Go ahead.
Read the story.
No, I don't have the story. This one I just plucked out of my brain is this OnlyFans model who made $43 million last year, and she claims that she's like a virgin and she's a Christian and you know she's a very whatever and she doesn't do anything X-rated.
I mean, it keeps coming back to OnlyFans, but I get it. I get why girls are doing it. $43 million.
It's a lot of cheddar.
I'd show my butthole for $43 million.
All right, well.
No questions asked.
Okay.
To anybody.
Well, no questions being asked. Sir.
Yeah,
sir.
I mean.
Excuse me, sir. There are no questions going to be asked. I don't want to know.
I don't know. I mean, if somebody listened to this and was like, hey, I'll give you $43 million for a 10-second video of your butthole. They're getting a 10-second video of my butthole. But you're talking about alternative ways to earn money. Like it's just how do you tell your kid, my kid, my little girl, hey, maybe you should. I don't want you to be. You can't do this. And then she's like, all right, well, I'm gonna make $43 million. How do I tell her no? You can't make $43 million, and I'll be disappointed in you,
dude. It's a brutal truth. It's a brutal truth. How do you fucking tell them they can't do it?
Well, and then how do they tell you? Like, I guess.
I don't know.
Here's your new house, Dad. I've been showing my butthole.
I have a friend who has, this is not a public situation, but I have a friend who has a child who's, not a child, a woman, a grown
an of age person
who has an OnlyFans, and we don't talk about it because I'm like, and I don't. I was told about it. I don't know about it. I don't talk about it. It's none of my business. God bless him. It got to hurt a little bit, but at the same time, it's like it's none of my business. Yep. And this is something that everybody's doing. What's interesting is like I remember when I was so dependent when I was a sculptor, and this is right before social media started. I was a sculptor. I was so dependent on hoping that a gallerist or a broker or an art gallery was going to not pluck me out of obscurity, but like give me the option to make money.
Uh-huh.
At the expense of getting 40% taken away from me all the time. And I was so disgusted with the way I was being treated by galleries and the jumping through hoops to even just get a gallery, and just, I felt, it really was like a pimp relationship. And I always call gallerists and brokers, pimps, because that's what they are. And when I had the opportunity to start social media and start selling my work, it was so freeing because then all of a sudden I was not at the mercy of the trappings of these businesses. And now, if it wasn't for social media, Fader Knives would not exist.
Yeah.
I would still be at a metal shop, miserable, probably, you know, completely miserable. But, I mean, if it wasn't for social media and having the ability to kind of market what I do and the personality and all this stuff for the podcast and all that stuff, I would never have any of this. So it's like, how can I tell someone what they can or can't do?
Yeah.
God damn.
OnlyFans came out, everybody heard of it, and you're like, well, these girls are just sluts, and they're probably porn stars or whatever. But now, like you said, so there's this girl that apparently is a Christian and apparently doesn't show anything?
I don't know enough about it.
And makes $43 million?
I don't know enough about it. And my wife says, I do not subscribe to OnlyFans. I don't do any of that shit,
either.
So I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it. And I don't know anything about it except for all these articles. And based off that first one about the woman stealing, all these articles, people are like, let me see her. And then she gets more popular. I mean, this OnlyFans model is like, the problem with this OnlyFans model, I mean, the problem is, she's beautiful, but there's a very, like, she's got the body of an adult, but a face of a child.
Like Selena Gomez. Like,
Kind of, sort of.
Baby face woman body.
Kind of, sort of. I'm going to just send you, I'll send it to her. I'm not going to say it over the thing because I feel like it's just
then
too
I'll
much
do it.
For me to, I'll send it to you, this is not good podcasting, but at the same time, oh shit, almost, but,
send to all.
I almost did. Jesus Christ. You're going to have to, hold on a second. I'll text it to you. But it's the weirdest part is, I can't fault this person. You know,
no.
I can't fault this person. Any of these people who do this and, you know, God bless them.
You know, and that's something like Jack spent his Thanksgiving, who we talked about on the last episode. We went on the big excursion to the Northeast to go pick up this printing press. Jack spent his Thanksgiving in the hospital.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I guess his blood pressure was super high and he went in Wednesday night and they kept him. Saturday morning, they put in two stents and said he had 90% blockage in one artery and like 70 in another.
Oh my God.
So he dodged a bullet.
He almost crapped out on that road with that big ass stuff.
Sophie Rain. Yeah, she's good looking.
Okay, all right, well, there you go.
Yeah, she's good looking. She's got some.
All right.
I ain't paying for it, but yeah, I mean, like, I'll look at her Instagram.
43 mil.
5.4 million followers.
Well, then we should go into this one. Nova Scotia dog sitter caught filming OnlyFans content in her clients' homes. That's a good one.
With the dogs?
No, with the dogs. No, with the dogs. She's dog sitting. An OnlyFans content creator in Nova Scotia was caught filming explicit videos while dog sitting in a client's home. This woman from Amanda something was shocked when she came across a video promoting the dog sitter's OnlyFans account and recognized her own home being used as the setting. I'm still shocked, to be honest. This person told this magazine. It feels, for lack of a better term, violating. The telltale sign of the homeowner homed in on the uniquely patterned tile of her bathroom. She paid the $7.99 month subscription price to identify the dog sitter's page and confirm her suspicions, and found the videos of the woman masturbating in her bathroom and posing in her backyard pool. Everyone can do what they want. I don't care. People have to make money, but I just don't want it to be done in my home. The homeowner confronted the dog sitter, who was initially unapologetic and did not seem to understand why this person was so upset. However, she eventually agreed to take down the videos filmed in this person's home, and they told this person told the outlet that the dog sitter has always been very reliable when her husband used her and their pets, which were not in any of the woman's explicit videos, and everybody was happy about that. She then recommended her to a local families whose homes also appeared on the woman's OnlyFans page. OnlyFans did not say whether the dog sitter breached any of the company's policies, but agreed to look into the situation if this person reached out to them. Nova Scotia something 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 told this newspaper that it could not say whether or not a crime was committed since the incident was not reported to the police. The homeowner does not intend to take any sort of legal action, but she has learned her lesson and will be more cautious going forward regarding who comes into her home to look after her dogs. I'm just so disappointed that I trusted this person. So,
well, this is kind of like the dipshit stealing from Target. Now I just want to see who this gal is. Just kind of lay eyes on her who did it. But is that illegal? She was invited into their house to take care of stuff.
Right. And then she used this person's house as the backdrop for her jerking off videos. I still think that.
I mean, it's bad form.
When a woman masturbates, you should still call it jerking off because I think it's funnier.
I'm game with that.
So, so she's jerking off to this person's bathrobe.
She was in there beating her meat. And...
It sounds so much funnier that way. This, you know, you're talking about this woman and she's jerking off in the bathroom.
I feel like beating her meat kind of goes as well for boys or girls.
It does. It certainly does. But it definitely takes away the.
But
it takes away the.
I mean, is it? Is that illegal? I don't know.
The police department said that a crime was not called. They didn't call for a crime. So
well, that's just
because
they didn't call. But could they have got her for something? Had they called?
I wonder if they could have sued, but I'm not 100% sure it was. I don't know. I mean, like you said, they invited her in. She was supposed to do a job, and then she just moonlighted into something else.
Yeah. I
can imagine the OnlyFans person thinking they're never going to know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been podcasting now for 12 years, and I've said some horrendous shit in the past.
And still nobody listens.
And I thought to myself, they're never going to know. The person I talked about is never going to know. So, like, I can see that, like, you know, you're in Nova Scotia, you know, your dog's sitting, you're very unassuming, and you just assume that you're not going to... I mean, how did this person stumble upon...
I wondered that very same thing. Like, I just don't feel like you stumble across that.
Right. Yeah. No. You get tipped off. Tipped off, yes. God, I'd be so fucking mortified. That conversation with my wife would be hilarious. Like, Hill, I don't know how to say this, but our dog sitter has been jerking off in our bathroom. What? How do you know that? Well, the conversation's the best.
It's
well,
so much
you know,
better
she
that
OnlyFans.
She... You know, if the dude, her husband, is the one who found this out, he never would have said shit. Because he is not going to have this conversation with his wife.
I don't know. It's a total. I mean, then you have to like fire them and have a. Then all of a sudden, like, let's. Oh, and then the wife says, "All right, we got to call the dog sitter again."
No, we're just never leaving town again.
Yeah. We're never leaving town. No, I think it would be a hilarious conversation because I know my Hill would say, "What do you mean? What do you mean that the dog sitter's been jerking off in our bathroom?" Like, well, you know, she's got an OnlyFans page, and I think I recognize her bathroom. Well, how the fuck did you stumble upon this, Jeffrey?
I'm not having.
And then I'm like, well, wait a second. Somebody tipped me off. Oh yeah, who tipped you off? I would burn under the lights of interrogation.
I'd never had that conversation.
Oh, I would. My father cheated on my mother a lot. So, like, I was – when I found out about it at an age where I thought to myself, how could you do this to our family? Like, I thought about it, about my father. I'm like, if you loved me, how could you destroy our family like this? So, like, I am very, very – I never cheated on a girlfriend. I had one technicality. this woman, this girl was in a summer camp, broke up with me, and then I ended up fooling around with her best friend that night.
As one does.
And she was very upset, obviously. But I thought the technicality, she had broken up with me anyway, so it was
That's just being spiteful.
I wasn't even thinking about that, but I didn't feel as though I was cheating on my girlfriend. And I felt like,
well, you are.
She broke up with me, and then an opportunity presented itself, and I took that opportunity within the correct lines of ethical decision making. With that said, that's the closest I've ever been to kind of stepping out on any girlfriend. And it comes from the fact that my dad wrecked he didn't give a fuck about my family. So I know that and my wife's been with me now, Jesus Christ, 30 years almost. She knows my shit. She knows my situation. She knows that I'm not a flight risk. I'm not one of them people. I'm like, I have trauma. I have like Larry David trauma on why I'm going to be loyal. So that would be, but it would be a very funny conversation.
Oh, I just wouldn't, like, my wife and I trust each. I cheated on a girlfriend way back, and I just felt so horrible about myself that I could never do it again. And, you know, I was younger. Like, we weren't married or anything, so I just couldn't ever do that again. Just felt too bad about myself. But yeah, I'm still like, we're just not having this conversation, and I just feel like it would lead, even though I don't subscribe to anybody on OnlyFans or anything like that, I just feel like it would be okay. How do you know? And even if, you know, one of my buddies said something, then it's like, okay, so now she all of a sudden knows, like, maybe we do or don't send some girls to each other on Instagram.
I feel bad enough about that. I have a very, very strict rule on women on Instagram. I don't follow like hot women on Instagram. I don't follow them. I don't need to get tied to any of this shit.
I will on occasion, and then I feel bad about myself, and then I got to unfollow them.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you know, we're just being honest here. Uh-huh. But at the same time, like, I ain't going to get caught. I don't get caught doing this shit. I don't want people to know. I don't like things, you know.
Oh, look.
All right, let's keep going. I think we did enough. No, I swear to God, Jeff no,
doesn't,
I swear
Jeff
to God,
doesn't
though,
even
that,
look. Jeff, he's too good.
Hey,
he's
how
too
was your Thanksgiving, by the way?
You know, it was all right. It was a little, it left a little bit to be desired. Pinecone was sick. We were having it at my sister's house in Amarillo. Pinecone was sick, so Alex and her stayed out here at the ranch, and the Comanche and I went in, had Thanksgiving. So it just wasn't really the same without them there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't all that it could be. Could or should have been.
How was the turkey?
Oh, the turkey was fantastic.
What did you do to make the turkey so good?
I don't cook turkey.
Oh, Granddude,
my dad, cooked. He deep-fried one, and I mean just injected the piss out of it, deep fried it, and it was delicious. And then my sister and her husband, they got just turkey breasts and smoked them. And then also, his mother baked a turkey, which she does every year, and nobody ever eats it.
Wow.
You know, everybody just goes for the deep fried turkey because it's the only turkey that's actually good.
I had a deep fried turkey once. I wasn't crazy about it. I thought it was too kind of oily.
Something was wrong then. They didn't do it right.
Do you know what they're doing in Salt Lake City?
Soaking?
The Great Salt Lake. They're having a real problem. Officials are telling the people, don't brine your turkey in the Great Salt Lake. Officials... It's happening. People are doing it. So officials at the Great Salt Lake State Park and Marina in Utah are reminding locals not to brine their Thanksgiving turkey in the Great Salt Lake after someone's bird washed up on the beach. The park said on social media that a turkey still bearing the faded label from the store washed up on the beach. Officials said discovery was a teaching moment. Just your annual reminder not to use the Great Salt Lake to brine your turkey. Not only is the salinity too high for proper brine, the waves can be very strong, and there's a good chance you'll lose your entire turkey, as this person did. It ended up washing on the Silver Sands Beach with, and someone went turkeyless. So what a stupid fucking thing to do. You know these motherfuckers. You know some of these people are like, I ain't buying
fucking salt.
Well, but if you think about it, like if you got a frozen turkey, and you wanted to defrost it, keeping it in the Great Salt Lake might do the trick. Do both. You defrost it and brine at the same time.
Yeah.
But you might end up with some fucking. You know,
motor oil.
Motor oil.
Just something you don't want that. Like, we ain't doing shit with public water.
Yeah, or some, like, you know, some sort of, like, protozoa.
Yeah.
Or some sort of, like, fucking...
saltwater giardia.
Oh, God. Beaver fever at Thanksgiving. No. Did you know that... Did we talk about this a couple years ago? Did you know that, like, plumbers refer to Black Friday as Brown Friday? Because it's the biggest day of the year that plumbers get called is the day after Thanksgiving.
I don't fully understand that. Like,
people are wiping too much.
Is that what it is? It's just too much TP?
It's toilet paper. People are you know, there's... I didn't realize this until I was a homeowner. All this... And you and I have talked about this before. I think I know why. I think you told me you like the... the roughest sandpaper possible. Or the toilet paper. Yeah. You want like 800 grit.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember we've had this conversation.
Yeah, but I just, the toilet paper, do people just forget how to shit on Friday after Thanksgiving?
No.
Like they forget just... how to wipe properly? We're at grandma's house. We can oven mitt my hand and use that.
I'm going to make the suggestion that it isn't not knowing. I'm going to make the suggestion. Thanksgiving is the most amount of carbs I eat. There's nothing even close. Nothing even close. You have mashed potatoes and stuffing, and we had spoon bread, and we had fucking bread and dumplings and all this shit. No, we didn't have dumplings, but we had a lot of carbs, not a lot of like fiber. And I feel as though people get a little bit tight with all
the... Yeah, but generally, if you're shitting a brick, it's less wiping. That's a one wiper.
Maybe people are not getting their full evacuation, and then they're just like, you know, if you get a half evacuation, you end up wiping a million times.
Yeah, you got and the then all dog of a sudden sticking you put, out of the you, hole. Just
right, you know what I'm talking about? Like all of a sudden, it's just like it's still there, and that's a disaster. So, okay, the next thing is we have truck... I don't want to do that. I refuse to get... We've talked about this last week, but we can talk about it again.
Okay.
I refuse to give up a plane seat for an elderly disabled woman because she should plan ahead.
Whew, this is a tough one. I need to hear more.
Okay, a man has been praised for... That's the best. A man has been praised... for refusing to give up his pre-booked plane seat so an elderly disabled couple could travel in comfort. He explained how he and his partner, both in their early 30s, were traveling on a four-hour flight and made sure to pre-book their preferred seats as the partners get claustrophobic on the planes. To make the journey a bit smoother, they booked seats 1A and 1B, a center and aisle seat. And he said on Reddit, we always get on the plane last, so there's less hanging around the plane waiting for the doors to shut. When we boarded, an older couple was sat in the seats 1A and 1B. They were given 1A and 1D and offered us 1C and 1D. I politely refused this offer and explained that we booked 1B and 1C as we wished to sit together. With that, the flight attendant jumped in to try to persuade them to give up their seats for the elderly couple, explaining how one of them is disabled, but unconvinced by her disability and reasonings for a seat swap, he again declined the offer. He said the flight attendant rolled her eyes and the woman in 1B reluctantly moved.
I get it. I wouldn't do that. But I get it.
The entire situation has been playing over and over in his head, and now he's taken to social media to ask users whether he's wrong for refusing to move. In response, one user said, "You and your partner booked those seats in advance. They're yours. If the elderly couple needed special accommodations, they should have figured that out while booking." One user said, I was on a flight. No. Who gives a shit what these people have to say? I've been in a couple situations where I've been asked to move. The one thing about this thing that sucks is it's only a four-hour flight. For a four-hour flight, I would have been a gentleman and give them a seat. Yeah. And I take the fucking seat.
Yeah.
Now, the flights that I've had, I was on when I was flying to Barcelona last time, I get the shitty, it's only me flying. So you can just tuck me into a corner. Like, it's okay. I drug up.
With your shoes on.
I try not to drink. Shoes on. I drug up. And I got, but I do get an aisle seat because I don't want to ask people to, you know.
Yeah.
And this guy behind me, or guy next to me said, can I switch seats with you? And I said, no. And then he said, and I don't think he wasn't from this country. And he goes, well, why not? And I said, because I'm uncomfortable and this is the seat that I want. And it was a strange conversation, but he was just like, he was kind of begging me to switch seats with him. And I thought, you know what? I did, you know, try to find a aisle seat. You know, I did all this work and this is a 7-hour flight. And I just didn't feel as though I needed to be a bigger guy in the situation.
No. Stand your ground. That's your mountain.
But I think it's time to related.
Well, like, and yeah, it's elderly people. Like, I don't know what their disability was. Like, I feel like that could also play a factor into the way I would deal with it, you know. But most likely a 4-hour flight, I'm giving up my seat to some old people.
Yeah, 4 hours, okay. 8 hours, you're out.
It depends.
Right.
I mean, it's just circumstantial. It depends. And it goes back to, you know, you open doors for old people and you help little old ladies across the street and you do all that shit. I mean, it's just, but if it's just like, hey, Sonny.
4 hours.
You're sitting in the middle. I'm sitting in the aisle. Fuck off. Grandma.
There was, I remember when Hillary and I were coming back from Sweden. I don't know what happened, but Hillary and I got sat one on one side of this woman and the other on the other. And the woman was talking to my wife, knew that we were together. And I didn't ask if she would mind switching seats with Hillary. They were both two aisle seats. Like, no, both Hillary's seat and this woman's seat were in the middle. They weren't in the aisle. It was in the middle console of
So it's like a four-row seat or four-seat row?
So switching, if they either one of them switched, it wouldn't really make a huge difference. But I wasn't going to ask, you know, because I'm just like, I'm not going to ask this woman if she was
switching. But who wouldn't volunteer that?
That was the crazy part. Like, I thought to myself, so for fucking 6 hours, this woman was yammering on to my wife, and then I was passing snacks to my wife over this woman. And then what made things me fucking crazy was I was playing solitaire or hearts or I don't know what the fuck I was playing. And she tried to help me. Oh, that one goes there. And I was just like, you better fucking move your finger.
Back your fucking sausage finger off.
You better get your fucking. You didn't switch seats with my wife. I mean, it wasn't a gain. There was no gain or loss if she had swapped.
That's mind boggling that she wouldn't think, oh, well, these people are together. Yeah. We're both in the middle. It's no big deal if we switch. Maybe the person on Hillary's other side was her husband. She hates him. Maybe that was going on.
It was bizarre. Oh, and her husband. I know what happened. And her husband. It was going out to Sweden, and her husband was. They were going on a heavy metal. They were going to a heavy metal conference in Sweden.
As one does.
And she was just this doting wife. I don't like heavy metal, but I like to be with my husband. I've never been to Sweden before. He looked like a Viking. He looked like one of our guys. He looked like one of our, like, he could have been like, if you told me this guy, he had a long-ass beard. He was a little too clean to be one of our guys. Yeah. But if you told me he was like, you know, Solitaire Forge, I would have been like, I'm like, I got you, my guy.
Yeah.
I'm with you, my guy. What kind of hammer are you swinging, my boy? But it was like, I was mystified that this woman wouldn't just be like, hey, you know what? Why don't you guys sit together? Her husband was fucking in front of her.
Oh, he was in front.
Yes. He wasn't even near. It wasn't even nearby. It was so stupid.
I would have asked her, hey, Do you mind if you, like, it's no big, can we switch?
Oh, I would never.
No, not me. I ain't moving from that fucking aisle seat. But can you swap with my wife?
I don't think that I could even have, I don't even think I could do, I don't think it would have it in me to ask somebody for that.
Oh, I could.
Because then they're asking me for something.
And I'm so anxious, like, on the plane, as we've talked about, and I hate flying so much. It wouldn't have been long before she offered, like, I'm over here having my mini panic attack. And, you know, I'd have made her uncomfortable as fuck.
See, I hate flying.
Oh, it's the worst.
All right, we're going to do some smuggling news. I love
my favorite news.
Smuggling news is my favorite. Here's 18 of the weirdest smuggling schemes ever caught by customs.
Yes.
Number one, well, these aren't great. I'm going to just read them off. There's not a lot of explanation, but some people were smuggling money and bread.
That's fair.
There was cocaine.
Gotta get that bread.
basically, croissants, and then they got
a croissant.
Yeah, croissant. There's cocaine and breast implants.
Those are some high dollar titties.
sure are. Cocaine in candy eggs.
Okay.
Weed in the shape of a donkey.
Like a walking, talking, eon donkey.
Like a fucking real ass donkey. Like a sculpture of a donkey or
I have heard of them sewing up or implanting drugs in, like, cows and horses and donkeys and shit
uterus. Ooh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I never in a million years would think that drug dealers would use a real cow as
crafty.
A mule.
They are crafty.
Didn't even dawn on me. How would it, do you think that when they bring them across the border, they're inspected for that
kind
of stuff?
Yeah. No, and most animals coming across into the United States are quarantined for like 30 days anyways, and then they're also given a pretty thorough health inspection, real thorough health inspection.
Like, what are they looking for, stitches?
I think a lot of the time, I said sewed up, but I think they just force it in through the backside.
Oof.
So
30 days, you're going to...
Yeah,
you're gonna
but, you know, they're mainly looking for disease. But I think, you know, they may get x-rayed if they think something's suspicious, and then, you know, wham bam.
So if they're quarantined, I mean, who's in charge of feeding them for 30 days?
You know, I think the Border Patrol.
I'd have to
ask some people. I know people who've done it a bunch. As we've talked about, like,
I mean, that's like free. That's like feeding your animals for free.
I'd imagine you got to pay for the process of the quarantine.
Oh, that's got to be expensive. Right? Housing a fucking cattle.
It ain't going to be that bad. I mean, hell, you might even...
You
I don't even know if
than
you could
doing
even...
it yourself?
No, probably even cheaper, but it isn't going to be that bad. Hell, maybe you go down there and feed them. I'm not real sure, but that's something I can find out about.
Well, because if you think about it, I mean, like, when somebody's bringing cattle across the border, they're not bringing two.
No.
I mean, they're bringing, like, a lot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so and most of the time, the funny thing about that one is they're bringing, or like, we'll export cattle to Mexico, but they've got to be spayed. Like, even the heifers have to be spayed. But we can bring in cattle from Mexico. Most of the time, they're sterilized as well.
Huh.
But,
So they'd have to bring them to, like, a quarantined off.
I know
pasture, right?
Yeah, and I know that's the way it is with horses.
Time.
Cattle may be quarantined on site, like with a brand inspector from whatever, you know, either Mexico or the United States goes and inspects them, and they're quarantined there and given a bill of health. I'm not fully sure on how all of that works. But
Jesus Christ, that has got to be a whole production, because if you think about... How many, you probably have to, I would imagine, you probably have to let them know in advance that you can't just show
up.
Yeah,
you're not just,
by the way.
Yeah, if you're showing up with two horses, yeah, you quarantine them on the border. They have quarantine pens. But if you're getting truckloads, which is the only way to make it worth it for cattle. I mean, yeah, you've dotted all ahead. Your T's across all your I's ahead of time.
Jesus Christ. I don't know how you guys do this cattle business. It just seems like it's such a giant pain in the ass.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a hell of a lot of cowboys that say, man, building knives looks like a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah, but I don't have to lift anything over 25 pounds. It's great.
Yeah, this is true.
I don't have to bend over.
But a donkey shaped like weed. I don't feel like that. Or weed shaped like donkey. I don't feel like that's your best smuggling route.
No, some of these smuggling routes are not. There's geckos that are like they cut up a book, and then they made like a little bed, and there's geckos in the bed. Ecstasy inside a Mr. Potato Head. That's pretty funny.
That's bush league shit.
Wooden doors filled with cocaine.
I've seen that. Not in person, unfortunately.
Did I tell you about the time I told you about the time I did jury duty, right?
I don't think so.
And it was all about I did jury duty, and I served on a trial this years ago because it was this Colombian drug cartel, and what they were doing is where there were these people up in Queens, and they were renting a U-Haul truck, driving down to Miami, buying a water heater, and then driving it back to Queens into an auto body shop. Doors open, truck goes in, doors closed, nobody knows nothing. Well, what they're doing was they were buying a water heater down in Miami, cutting a hole in it, and then filling it with cocaine.
That's a lot of cocaine in a water heater.
It was a lot of cocaine. But it was also like the crazy part was none of the jurors this is before I was married. So I had my first studio, but I was working as a, you know, assistant, and we were doing construction-y stuff, and nobody on the jury could understand that you would never rent a truck in Miami, drive down to Miami, buy a fucking water heater that you could get down to the store a block away.
For $400
and drive it all the way back. And then when they were like talking about the hole, they were there on the thing, they were saying, just cut a hole and put the stuff in the thing. And the jury couldn't understand that, like, if you're giving someone like very, very specific instructions, you're like, I want it 4 3/8 from the bottom, and I want the hole to be 2.5, and I want to make sure that you do, you know, it's very specific. Yeah. You don't say to put a thing in the thing. And the craziest part wasn't the fact that they did it. Well, the crazy part was that they did it. What they should have done, I mean, there's a million things they should have done, but it was like sketchy as fuck. And it was like renting the car in Queens, driving down to fucking Miami, getting one water heater.
Yeah.
Can you imagine strapping one water heater in a U-Haul and then driving it back? Nobody could understand, like,
why they weren't taking 10 water heaters?
Nobody can understand, like, on the jury, why this wasn't abnormal. Like, it was so abnormal. It was, like, the most abnormal. And there was one guy on the jury who we ended up being sequestered. And I wasn't the foreman, but I was just saying, look, we listened to this whole thing. It's just, the whole thing's crazy. Why wouldn't you just go to the Home Depot to get it in Queens?
Yeah.
Why would he go through all this to get a fucking water heater? And this one guy, we had come to the conclusion, and I was like very much along the lines, I work for contractors. No one in the fucking right, in their right mind would do something like this. Sending two guys to Miami for one water heater? It's crazy. And we were about to finish and get ready to present. And one guy said, oh, I'm a fan of Star Trek. And in Star Trek, they have very specific, you know, rules in terms of justice and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, this isn't
this
Star
is
Trek.
The fucking
this
is United fucking, States of America. Fucking, we also this, have got very specific rules. As far
this
as
isn't
our
the Federation of Planets or whatever the fuck. This is fucking New York City, man. We want to go home.
Fucking Star
and right
Trek.
When we finally, White, when I gave him the, I gave him the contractor's manifesto of law and justice. They said, "All right, we're gonna you've spent too much time. We're gonna sequester you." And they fucking hustled us. They called. I called the bailiff. Called my girlfriend at the time, my wife, saying we're being sequestered. Then they hustled us into a restaurant that was empty. That they were, and then they brought us to a hotel where the bailiff had to go and look under the bed, look in the shower, and then there was a bailiff sitting in the hallway because these are Colombian drug dealers.
Yeah.
And the crazy part was my dad, who was very good friends with the district attorney at the time, my dad said to me, "Don't worry, I'll help you get off the jury." I'm like, "Well, how are you going to help me get off the jury?" "Just say you know the district attorney." And then I actually have stories. What we used to do is we used to go to their farm and go for, you know, 4th of July or whatever. And I used to throw fucking apples at their goats or something like that. So when the judge said, "Is there anybody who can't serve here? Is there any reason why anyone can't serve?" And I raised my hand. And they said, "Why can't you serve?" And I'm like, "Well, I grew up, you know, I'm my family friends with, you know, the district attorney." And then they said, "Well, how do we know you're telling the truth?" I said, "Because I used to go to their farm. I used to throw fucking apples at their goats." And then they knew that he had a farm and stuff like that. And I was just like, that should have been enough. And it was. And they had me on. It was a fucking.
So what happened with the Star Trek guy?
Ah, who gives a shit? And we ended up doing the sequester. We went into the room the next morning. We said the same goddamn thing. It was just like he wasted enough of our time that we had to get sequestered.
So it was all because he's just.
He wanted a fucking.
It was based on
problem.
Star Trek.
He wanted to throw himself around a little bit. He wanted to be a big shot. He wanted to.
Fucking nerd.
He wanted to. I think that some people just want to be heard and they want to control people's time and energy. And instead of just being like, "Yeah, this dude," I mean, it was very clear that these guys were fucking. I mean, this was an open and shut situation. Yeah. The guy liked being the center of attention. And he wanted to be the linchpin on this trial.
Well,
but I do love smuggling news.
That's something I've watched all the documentaries of, like, the tunnels from Mexico under the border and stuff. Right. Like, I love that shit.
You know what? It's all very, like, there's something about it. I do like the ones, some of the ones that I think my favorite one was, there's one of this guy who was coming from Argentina to Spain, and he was hiding, like, a kilo of cocaine under his wig. So, like, there's a picture of this guy with his mugshot, and the wig is clearly, like, something's clearly in between the guy's scalp and the wig. And it's,
I think I've seen
a kilo
that.
Of cocaine. Oh, it's the best. Yeah. I mean, that's like, just like, that's the shit that's just like, how do you not think you're going to get caught?
You know, I feel like on some of those things, they set that guy up on purpose and they had four or five other people going through at the exact same time. And he's the sacrificial lamb.
You know, every time I go to Spain, I always want to bring back some a jamón ibérico.
Fucking do it.
They're
not going to throw you in the pen for that.
Well, here's my game plan. My game plan is they sell them in, like, envelopes, and I'm going to just bring back some FedEx, some USPS envelopes, and I'm just going to stuff them in there. Because every time I've gone through, they never search my shit. And I'm just like, how much trouble could it possibly be?
Is that a jamón in your pants, or are you happy to see me?
Yeah, kind of fucking. There you go, ladies and germs. There you go, ladies and germs. Ben Snur, of course. Of course, ghost. What is it? Ghost riding.
Ghost ride the whip.
Ghost riding the whip. You ain't got much better than this, guys. It's Christmas time. Go to wellshod.com. I'm gonna have a link in the bio. Go get yourself a hammer. Ben just made a new batch of them at Wellshod. You can get them there. Get yourself some money. Get somebody some special over at wellshod.com. Go follow my boy. You know you're here for him. You're here for Ben Snur, the king of the kings, Ben. It's always a pleasure, and it's always so much fun chatting with you, and I'm really glad you're here.
Love coming on.
I wish you the best of holidays.
You too.
All right, my brother. All right, guys. We're going to see you next week. I need your by the time this comes out, we got questions for Pat Quinn. Pat Quinn's coming back on. We're going to answer your forging questions, so send them into Knife Talk Full Blast Podcast on Instagram, and we will see you next week. Bye for now.
Adios.
Ding dong merrily on high. Papa John's does Christmas pizza. Only £12 for a large. Yes, Christmas on a pizza.
Start a new tradition with our All the Trimmings pizza featuring pulled turkey, sage onions, sprouts, and roast potato tots. Papa John's. Better ingredients, better pizza. Get a large pizza from the menu for only £12. You know ho ho, it makes sense. Offer ends 1st of January 2025. Original large pizzas only, excludes additional toppings. Minimum spend for delivery, terms apply.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.